I think, you know, we are different people, especially as young Black people. We come from different backgrounds. We have been previously disadvantaged. So accessing quite a number of these financial credit facilities is hard.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast, where we chat about all things property related. This week, the Financial Bunny and I will be diving deeper into the topic of home loans.
A playlist original.
Hi guys, my name is Nicolette Mashida. I'm also known as the Financial Bunny. I am the founder of Financial Fitness Bunnies, which is a consumer financial education company. And I've expressed and focused and, you know, emphasized the education, because we believe that education, not on its own, is one of the keys to really unlocking South Africa's financial inclusion and breaking down the barriers and the pillars that hold up poverty. So we always say it's 20% education and 80% what you do. But for you to be able to do, you need to have the education to know what it is that you must be doing.
So with regards to home loans, are they all the same?
No. Home loans are not the same. Even in the same bank, a home loan will never be the same. Because remember, again, it is a relationship and an agreement that you go into with a financial institution. And again, when I speak financial institution, I'm specifically speaking to banks right now. So because it is a relationship, everybody's home loan will look different. You know, the interest rate that you are given, the amount of money that you need, the loan term, sometimes they are T's and C's. For instance, I have a T's and C in one of my bonds that if I stay at that bank, it is a reduced interest rate. If I leave, the interest rate goes up. If I take up more products at the bank, the interest rate goes down. So a home loan will never look the same for two people, because it's not. You know, we're all assessed on our individual credit profile, our individual affordability, and sometimes on our individual character. I would like to see home loans becoming a little bit more standardized. However, I would like more home loans to also profile the character of a person. Now, I understand that financial institutions, i.e. banks, have targets they need to reach. So, you know, they want to spend as little amount of time as possible on one individual. But I think, you know, we are different people, especially as young Black people. We come from different backgrounds. We have been previously disadvantaged. So accessing quite a number of these financial credit facilities is hard, you know. Often people, young people, find themselves with a badly damaged credit record, not because of their own doing, but because maybe when you were growing up, somebody said, take a loan for your brother. You know, black tax also comes into play. So there's quite a number of things that I think financial institutions now need to be a little bit vigilant of and understand. I want to say financial institutions need to read the room. You know, yes, they are money-making companies, but they also have a responsibility to understand the country and the economy in which they are actually operating. South Africa is not the same as the UK, it's not the same as the US, and it's not the same as Kenya. You know, so it's very important for them to be wary of such things so that they can service their market as efficiently as possible.
That's true. I totally agree. So when it comes to getting a home loan, do you recommend getting a home loan that's 100% funded by the bank, or do you recommend that somebody saves for a deposit? And also, when it comes to a deposit, do you have any tips for lifestyle changes you can make to start saving?
So I can't make recommendations because I'm not a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. However, I can speak to what I have put into practice. I think there is a very big, important understanding of why a deposit is used. A deposit services two things. The first thing it services is the bank being able to see that you actually have financial interest in this asset that you are trying to buy. So you are willing to put up your own money. So already that puts you at an advantage. But the second and probably most important thing is you are borrowing less. And it's as simple as that. You are borrowing less. Yeah. So when you borrow less, you are going to repay less than what you would have borrowed if you did not have a deposit. And I think that's a very important thing for people to understand. I know people will come up with things like, what about the opportunity cost of using that deposit money for something else? If you can find something else that is going to give you a better advantage than borrowing less, then by all means do it. But for generally for the average person in South Africa, there isn't that thing. Yeah. So I would always say to people, yes, save up for a deposit. My go-to when it comes to buying a property is you can't buy a property on a whim. It is not a decision that you make overnight. So I always say take 12 months. And I know that people will say, yeah, 12 months is so long. But in 12 months, there is so much that you can learn about yourself, first and foremost, and whether you have the ability to actually service a credit agreement. Let me explain to you. You need to make a decision at some point as to how much you are willing to pay every single month, all costs included, when you are purchasing a property. I think it's also important for people to remember that a property is not just the amount of money you're going to borrow from the bank. Properties come with additional costs and additional ongoing costs, right? Exactly, that you've got to pay every single month. So it is important that you are well aware of those costs. Things like levies, things like the maintaining the house, things like homeowners and insurance, things like actual structural insurance. So all those things come into play over and above the actual installment that you're going to be paying the bank. So it is important that you actually factor those costs in into this amount that you're going to pay. So if you say, I want my installment to be 5,000 rand at the bank, you got to add on an additional 1.5 or even 2,000 rand. So in essence, you're going to pay 7,000 rand that's going to go towards. And remember, it's not just levy, it's also paying the municipality for water, electricity, refuse, and all those things. So you've got to then say, okay, sharp, let's say I need 7,000 rand in all inclusive every single month to be able to service this property that I am purchasing. Then I would say for the first 12 months, find 7,000 rand in your budget that you need to put away. And I know it's difficult because people will say, but what if I'm renting and I'm paying that same amount of money that would replace? That's fine. If you are renting, then we know that that rental amount is the amount that you're going to be paying as a bond. Is it 7,000 rand? If it's not and there is a difference, put the difference away into an account, right? If you are living home and you are privileged to be living home, put away the entire 7,000 rand. What that will do is when you are done at the end of 12 months, it will serve as a deposit or as a transfer cost. Because remember, over and above the monthly payments that you need to make, there is the once-off payment, which is your transfer cost that you need to pay to the lawyers who are transferring. And if you're using a bond, it is also bond registration cost. And you've got to pay the bond lawyers. Yeah. So there's a lot of also once-off costs that you still need to pay when you are purchasing a property that are going to come at you and they're going to look at you in the face and say, oh, hello, we're also here. Also inclusive of the initiation cost that you have to pay to start off to vroom, vroom your account.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of costs that are involved when you're purchasing a property. So the 12 months gives you enough time to save up for those amounts of money so that they don't make the property buying process a miserable process for you. Because it should be a proud moment where you are really doing amazing things. You are buying this big ticket purchase and it's an asset that ultimately can put money back into your pocket. But you've got to do it well and you've got to buy well. And if you don't buy well, it will become a nightmare. Because what people do is then they go into overdrafts or they go into their credit cards to try and pay for those other costs. Now you are being charged so much money just to repay those amounts back. But that's because you did not plan and you acted impulsively, or you didn't save up for that deposit. So that deposit, I always say, it can either go to the actual home loan that you're going to be applying for, if you have other means to pay for the transfer costs, or it can play that portion of paying for the transfer costs. But my rule is that it will always be better to have a deposit, because ultimately you are borrowing less. We want you to borrow less from the bank. Even if the bank is willing to give you that 100% loan, we want you to still be borrowing less.
So after I bought my property, I was happy and like moving into this empty house. I had no furniture, nothing. My parents gave me couches and I had to start from scratch and buy beds and fridges and everything. But I am so like, it's been 4 months. And it's so crazy how there's always expenses. Like right now I have a guy who's coming to fix something, but every single month there's always some kind of surprise. So I really think it's important for people to have a savings account, because despite like now I'm paying for levies, rates and taxes, and then the gardener, Yeah, it's just very crazy because there's just a lot happening and all these unexpected costs. Like last 2 weeks ago, I had to pay $900 for a plumber. Today, an electrician is coming and it's just like, when will it end? I don't think it'll end.
And what people don't realize that it's such a big shift from renting, because when you're renting, you can just pick up the phone and call the landlord and say, hey, the toilet is leaking. Hey, this is happening. Hey, that's happening. When it is your own property, you are the landlord.
Yeah.
You have to fix it. And if you delay the fixing and things get worse, you end up paying more. So you know, I always say to people, you never really think about the costs that are associated with home ownership because you are in this euphoria state. But when you move in, I mean, when I moved in, 2 days into moving in, the garage door fell. And I can't sleep with no garage door because my cars are parked there. So I have to fix the garage door. And then, it's leaking. And water is streaming into the walls. I got to now do roofing, you know. And then, the wall is peeling. You got to do painting. Then the light bulbs are out. You got to replace light bulbs. Then the cupboards are falling apart. You got to replace, you know, so there is. And then it's a bigger space. Now you got to get a helper to come in an extra day. Then you've got a pool. Now you got to get a pool guy to come and clean it. You've got a garden. Now you got to get a gardener to come and do these things. So it's a lot that I don't think a lot of us think about, you know. It's crazy how we are excited about the bond and you just want the bond to be approved, but there is an additional 2,000-3,000 rand that you still need every single month just to maintain having a property. So it is important that you make the property buying process a pleasant one for yourself, and the only way you can do that is by ensuring that you have planned correctly. You are not buying impulsively, but and as you rightfully say, keep a savings account, make sure you put all the insurances that you need, household insurance, structural insurance, and everything that you need to ensure that when things happen, you can literally pick up the phone and say, guys, I need you to come in and assist me. So all of those things are very important. I definitely agree with you on the savings account.
So, okay. So regarding the types of home loans, can you explain what's the difference between a cap rate home loan and a fixed rate home loan?
So what the banks do is, depending on your financial situation and your credit profile, remember the bank wants to ensure that they get their money back. That's really important to them, right? But at the same time, they want to do it in a manner that is comfortable and affordable to you and is not reckless lending. So often what they will do is they will offer different types of rates. So when we talk about a capped rate, is that they will cap the rate at a certain amount of money. So a certain interest percentage, right? So they will cap it at like a 10%, or they'll cap it at like a 15% for you, specifically for your profile. Then it's almost similar to also what is a fixed rate. What a fixed rate is that they will fix a rate at a certain percentage for you. So it does not matter what the market does in South Africa, the economy. Remember, our rates are changed by the Monetary Policy Committee, right? The Monetary Policy Committee, headed by the governor, which at the present moment is Lesetša Kganyago. So if Lesetša Kganyago and the boys, I always call them that, it's a bunch of men, if they decide that, you know what, we need to stimulate the economy like they did during the lockdown, and they bring down the repo rate, ultimately when they bring down the repo rate, then it means that commercial banks also need to bring down the prime lending rate in South Africa. So the basis of the rate at which they borrow you and I, it means that they need to bring that down. So if you have what's called a variable rate, which is the opposite of what a fixed rate would be, what they generally would do is, as that adjustment happens, there will also be an adjustment in the interest rate that you are charged on your account. So when it is fixed, those things don't matter to you because your rate is fixed at a certain amount of money at a certain specific time. However, it is important for you that to know that financial institutions are not a bunch of popeyes. They hire some of the top rated professionals, economists, actuaries, analysts. So they will never, over a 20-year period, fix a rate on a home loan. It would be silly. It would be absolutely silly. They would lose money. So what they do is that they will fix it maybe for 5 years. And after 5 years, they will relook at what your home loan situation is, what your affordability is, what your credit is, but also what the economy looks like, so that they can beat inflation, number one, but also number two, so that they make sure that they are multiplier. And the multiplier basically is how many times will the amount of money that they borrow you multiply when they get their money back. So they will only fix a rate. And remember, when they fix a rate also, it is to protect you as the consumer, because they want to protect you from the fluctuations of the market. So for instance, we all know that their interest rate has been brought down, right? So you may step in now and apply for a home loan, and you may get a rate at, let's say, prime lending rate, which is currently, I think, 7%. I could be wrong. They could give it to you at maybe, let's say, 8%. Right? But now at 8%, if they fix it for you, they're trying to protect you, because when the market restabilizes and South Africa's economy is now thriving again, that prime lending rate could shoot up to 10%. Now, you are so accustomed to paying a certain amount of money because your rate is 8%. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, when it shoots to 10% and you're on a variable rate, now you're paying 3,000 rand extra. Will you have 3,000 rand in your budget to be able to adjust with the fluctuation? Generally, a lot of people don't have it. So that is why they fix certain rates for certain profiles of people, because they are helping them to manage the actual credit account. So it is important that when you are offered a fixed rate, ask the bank why they're giving you a fixed rate. But generally, they should give you an option to choose at a capped rate, fixed rate, or a variable rate. And when they cap it, they will probably cap it a certain amount of money. You may have a room for variability, or if that's a word, and then at a certain amount of money, it will be capped. At a certain interest percentage, it will then be capped. Thank you guys for tuning in. My name is Nicolette once again. You can find me on, it is me at NicoletteM.com. But I am also on social media. I do quite a lot of the stuff that we do in terms of educating people on social media. I also have a YouTube channel. It's called Financial Bunny. And then, of course, our Facebook page, which is probably the most thriving Facebook page in the whole country. I say that with my chest. It is called Financial Literacy with Nicolette Mashile. And basically, it is a community of young people who really just want to become more financially savvy. So there's lots of conversations that are happening there. And remember, I do have a best-selling book, which is called What Is Your Move? What's Your Move? And it is really a challenge to you and I to say, you know what? The time is here for us to do better with our finances. And remember, any acquired knowledge is not powerful until it becomes applied knowledge. I'll see you guys on the next one.
Thank you so much, Nicolette. Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website, www.unpack.co.za, to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.